Yes, sir. Okay, good morning. Oh, what a beautiful sunny day with beautiful sunny faces. Let's go ahead and gather around and get started. We're a few minutes late, but that's okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we thank you and praise you for another opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless this service, you would bless this day, that our hearts would be changed. And when we leave this place, Lord, that we would finish the work. We love you and we praise you in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
How's everybody feeling this morning? Beautiful sunshine. We're in God's nature.
tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. Just because he lives.
Well, that is the truth, isn't it?
Now, this song requires a lot of air movement, so you might want to stand up so you can get plenty of air in your lungs.
What a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy and telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, born of the Spirit, family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took the offer of grace he did proffer. He saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, now with a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. Mansions sublime, and it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole.
Isn't that a great song? You may be seated. We're going to slow it down just a little bit.
Kind of have to catch my breath.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can
trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet. Oh, walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Thank you.
Just a few little announcements before we continue with our program. Announcement number one, you are here at the 11th annual Western Slope Camp Meeting, just in case you stumbled in here and didn't know. At the camp, we have lots of fun activities. If you've got little kids or if you see a little kid running around back in the red house over there or underneath the cafeteria, through that little awning, in through that door, the children's program is running right now, the kids' corner, as we call it, with Susie, Tiny, and friends. So if you or your kids want to spend time over there, that's where it's happening during this message and then in the evening message as well. In your bulletins, you may want to write down, if you brought kids, if you brought grandkids, you're trying to figure out, when is the bridge building competition? When are they going to have some of those other programs? You can start writing some of these down. We had to narrow down what times we were going to use. But today during town hall, when the adults will be doing adult activities here with the Rocky Mountain Conference, the kids will be doing some activities. There will be a chance to make bridges for a competition to weigh them down and to see if they're going to break or not out of popsicle sticks and glue. Just right over here in the activity, what should I call that, Kenny?
Game building.
The game building. Yeah, the game pergola, just right over here where the ping pong tables are, they're going to be building some bridges. So if you are wondering, when are my kids going to get to do the bridge building competition, that'll be right over there during the town hall meeting from 12 to probably about 1 or 1:30. After that, we'll have some more activities for the kids that Daniela is going to be organizing. So there will be lots of fun to have. John Clark, if you would raise your hand. Pastor John Clark is the one who will be coordinating the bridge building competition. So if you don't want to come to the Rocky Mountain Conference Town Hall meeting, don't tell them I said that you could do this, but you can sneak off to the bridge building competition. The age limit is 100 years old, so, and the age requirement is 2 years old. So Darren, just cover your ears for that part. The town hall tonight is going to be very important. After that, after the town hall, there will be a few more activities that we'll be doing, some of them a little bit more family-oriented. Kind of keep an eye out just out back here where Daniela and friends will be doing some activities. We have dinner tonight. Just kidding. We have Lupper tonight. I get it wrong every time. At 3:30 to 4:30. Please get there early. I put 4:30 as kind of the ending time, but chances are they'll stop serving once the food runs out. If you don't get there fast enough, they might start giving seconds out. You never know. Okay, worship tonight from 6 to 7:30. If you have a friend who is not at camp meeting and you think would really benefit from the messages that Dr. Hafner is bringing and the worship that we're enjoying with Last Song Ministry, or somebody who's got kids and says, well, I don't want to go to camp, there's nothing for kids to do, call them up, take a picture, say, there's all sorts of stuff happening here at Western Slope Camp Meeting. Make sure you're here, and tomorrow morning we'll have worship. I'm going to invite Last Song Ministry to come up for a... No, okay, not today. Carl Hafner to come up, and we'll have prayer with him. Dear Lord, thank you for Dr. Hafner and his passion for sharing your word with us. Please bless his words, his thoughts, his illustrations, and bless our hearts that we might receive for the purpose of enacting and sharing with others what we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, Pastor John Ortberg puzzles over a strange case study named Hank. Hank was a longtime member in his church, 50 plus years. And yet he was this cantankerous, ornery, angry, manipulative old man.
Yes.
Thank you for the amen, Hank. And here's what Ortberg writes. He says, it was as if everyone simply expected that his soul would remain withered and sour year after year, decade after decade. That's what everybody expected. Today we are going to talk about expectations of those who would walk in the way of Jesus. He goes on. No one seemed bothered by Hank's condition. No emergency meetings were held to probe this strange case of this person who followed all of the church's general guidelines for spiritual life and yet was not transformed. The church staff did have some expectations. We expected that Hank would affirm certain religious beliefs. We expected that he would attend services, support the church financially, and avoid certain sins. But here's what we didn't expect. We didn't expect that he would progressively grow to be more and more like Jesus. Now, in what other world would we make such concessions? Think for a moment about the academic world. Imagine a student enrolls in kindergarten, and 50 years later, they're still in kindergarten. Don't you suppose some of the teachers and the conference administration would wonder, well, what's going on? And the teacher just shrugs, well, that's Hank. Well, is he doing all of the homework and all of the things that you expect him and ask him? Oh, yeah. But why doesn't he move on to first? Well, that's just Hank. He'll always be in kindergarten. Or think about the healthcare setting. Somebody gets admitted into the hospital, and then 50 years later, they're in the same room. Don't you suppose people would wonder, well, what's going on? Is he compliant with the medications? Oh, yeah, he's doing everything we're telling him to do. Everything. And yet he's still in the hospital? We would never put up with this in a school or in a hospital. And yet, in the church, we just sort of shrug and say, well, you know, Hank will never grow beyond where he is. No, that's just Hank. Hank will never change. Now, Jesus was clear. It is the expectation for all who would claim his name that we would grow, that we would be transformed into the character of Jesus. If we are not growing in our love and joy and peace and all of the fruit of the Spirit, then something's wrong. And so today, if you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 15. We are simply going to work our way through this passage and then highlight three specific expectations for those who would follow Christ. John chapter 15, probably my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. Beginning verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, of course, a vine was a very common metaphor in ancient Palestine. The vine was the symbol of the nation of Israel. It was also the emblem on the coin of the Maccabees. Also, in the front of the holy place in the glorious temple was a golden vine. And so, as was often the case, Jesus just uses something very common in their day to build on that and to teach from this metaphor. Verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. In other words, if you're not growing, that's not okay. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Fruit bearing, that is growing in the fruit of the Spirit, is just clearly an expectation. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So those branches that are bearing fruit, he prunes. Pruning is part of the process. Now, sanctification cannot be put on speed dial. The process of pruning takes a long time. In fact, vintners in Napa Valley, California, state that it will be at least 15 years before they break even on their investment. Before their vines start making them money, it's 15 years. So transformation, it takes time, but it's all part of the process. You are already clean, Jesus says, because of the word I have spoken to you. So remain in me, or the old King James I prefer, abide in me. As I remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And we've been talking about this all week. You can't produce fruit. You can simply bear fruit. And Jesus says, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, I think it's interesting. We're not called to produce fruit through willpower and trying harder to be holy, but rather we are called to live in Christ, to abide in Christ. And Jesus makes it clear, you will bear much fruit. I am the vine. You are the branches, verse 5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But notice this, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You remember the old Volkswagen commercial that debuted in the 2011 Super Bowl? Showed this kid walking through his home, doing this hocus pocus magic thing with his hands, trying to, I don't know, cast a spell or do something on different objects around the house, the washing machine and then his sister's doll and the dog, but nothing happened until he goes out into the driveway and he does this thing over the Volkswagen, and suddenly the headlights pop on. The engine purrs. Then the camera cuts to the father who's standing in the kitchen, controlling everything with the fob. And so we see, apart from the father, that kid has no power. The same is true in the spiritual life. Jesus says, apart from me, you have no power to bear fruit, to produce fruit. He goes on. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. This is Christ's heart for each of us, that we are fruitful, that we bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So let's highlight expectations. The first expectation, you can expect God's pruning. Back to verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You know, it's interesting, many surveys, when asking longtime followers of Jesus, when did you grow the most? Inevitably, people say it was during those seasons of hardship and struggle and darkness. During those times of pruning, when we grow the most. Got this letter from a young college student some years back. She says, in the last several months, I have made some serious lifestyle changes. In doing so, my religious life has improved tremendously. Great. But isn't life supposed to get easier the closer we come to Christ? My life just seems to be getting harder. Nothing seems to be going right. Maybe you have some scripture that you can help me stay on the right path and fight the temptations the devil and the world continues to throw my way. And so the scripture that I suggested was John chapter 15. I said, no. Life doesn't necessarily get easier once you start following Jesus. That's part of the process, the pruning. You know, I live not too far from Disneyland, Anaheim, California. And if you've ever been to Disneyland or Disney World, you see the shrubbery that graces the landscape there, right? These bushes that grow into the likeness of Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, right? Well, you know, I know it's the Magic Kingdom and all that, but you know the bushes don't just grow that way, right? It's a long time for horticulturists to carefully prune and shape the image that they imagine. That's what God is doing with all of us. He is shaping us and pruning us into the kind of people that he is calling us to be. The kind of people who he envisions that we can be. You can expect God's pruning. Secondly, you can expect God's power. To underscore, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. God promises, if you just remain in me, you will have my power. I will remain in you. It's not willpower, and we've said this often, haven't we? It's trusting in God's power. When our kids were growing up, one of my favorite series of books to read to the girls was the Frog and Toad series. And there's one book where it tells the story of Frog and Toad together, and they bake these chocolate chip cookies. But they can't stop eating them. And finally, Frog says, you know, we really must stop eating them. And Toad says, well, how do we do that? And Frog says, we need willpower. As he's grabbing another cookie to eat. What is willpower? Toad asks. Frog says, willpower is trying very hard not to do something you really very much want to do. So they exercise their willpower in many different ways. They keep trying to put the cookies out of reach. You know, box them up, tie them in a tight rope, and then put them on the top of a tree. But no matter what they do to kind of willpower their way through this temptation, they just keep going back to the cookies. And they just keep eating the cookies. Until finally, Frog takes all of the cookies left, he crumples them up, and he just throws the crumbs all over the grass. And he says, "Hey birds, here's the cookies. Come get them." Toad says, "Well, now we have no more cookies." "Yes," says Frog, "but we have lots and lots of willpower." And Toad says, "You can keep your willpower. I'm going home to bake a cake." That's about the way it works, isn't it? You know, willpower doesn't work. And so God promises, if you remain in me, you can live in my power. Third, expectation. You can expect God's promise. It is repeated in this chapter. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. You can live in the presence of God moment by moment. I think this is what Paul was getting at when he calls us to pray without ceasing. It's just this practice of living in the presence of God. And you can expect God's presence. Give you a picture of this. Going all the way back to when I was a freshman, landing on an academy campus, Shenandoah Valley Academy. I know some of you are from SVA, woohoo, where shines the big Virginia sun. But I didn't know anybody, but I signed up to play intramural flag football. And wouldn't you know it, best athlete in the school, John Wilhelm, selected me to be on his team. Now, he chose me last, but I didn't care. I was on Wilhelm's team. Well, the very first game was close. With only enough time remaining for one final play, Wilhelm calls us into the huddle, and he says, "Let's surprise them. Instead of hiking the ball to me, this time, I want you to hike it to, and he started pointing at me. He says, "What's your name?" He didn't know. "What's your name?" I didn't even know my name. I was so nervous. I'm like, "Hike it to the guy here in the orange jersey." Then he looks me square in the eye and says, "Okay, now, all you need to do is just hold on to the ball for about 3 seconds, count in your head to three, and then heave it down the middle of the field as far as you can throw it. Not to worry. I'll be there. I'll catch it. I'll score the touchdown. We're going to win this game. Break!" And everybody lines up, and I am shaking. I am so nervous. You understand, this is intramural flag football at one of our academies. This game matters. I will be talking about this game 50 years later at Western Slope, Colorado camp meeting. So, of course, I'm just shaking. I am so nervous. And no kidding, in my mind, I am saying, "God, please, I need a miracle. Like, if you can part the Red Sea for your children, surely you can deliver this pigskin into the hand of thy servant Wilhelm. Please, I need a miracle." That's what I am sincerely praying, saying, "God, help me. I don't want to do this." And because that's what I was thinking, that's what just naturally came out of my mouth. So instead of saying what you would expect a quarterback to say in that moment, "Down, set, hike," or something like that, I actually said, "Dear Heavenly Father," and it just froze the defense. They didn't know if I was trying to be funny or sacrilegious or what I was doing, and they just stood there. Our center alertly hiked me the ball. All I did is heaved it down the field. Wilhelm, the defense, they're still standing around saying, Wilhelm's all alone. He caught the ball, ran the rest of the field, scored a touchdown. We won the game. All right. Now here's the deal. Whether you're playing flag football or pickleball or sitting in traffic or trying not to fall asleep in church, whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Every moment is an opportunity to pray, to be in the presence of God. Every moment, no matter what you're doing, is an invitation from Jesus in this moment, right now. Just abide in me, and I will abide in you, and we can live in His presence. So just imagine with me, if everybody in the Colorado Conference, everybody in the church, all of us, were to just make the rest of our lives this experiment like Brother Lawrence, to just live in the presence of God, and to be receptive and responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Think about what an adventure that would be with God, to live in Christ. A few years ago, I was flying from Houston to Dayton, Ohio, where we lived at the time. It was Friday afternoon. I was quite stressed because my sermon was far from ready the next day. And so I sat in my seat and pulled out an empty legal pad and was feverishly praying, God, I need a word. I need something. I don't know. It's less than 24 hours now. I need help. What am I going to say tomorrow? Now, we were in a series at the time in Acts. I kept reading through the book of Acts, and I was really struck by the fact that these incredible miracles just seemed so commonplace. You know, the unleashing of the Holy Spirit, the early rain of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, and, you know, people getting out of jail and all of these incredible miracles. And I found myself in dialogue with God wondering, why don't we see these same miracles in my church? Well, about that time, a woman from the back of the plane came up and sat down next to me in the empty seat there. And it wasn't an audible voice or anything like that, but as clear as I have ever discerned the voice of God, I just felt this strong prompting to turn and start up a conversation with this woman. God was asking me to do that, and so I'm arguing in my mind with God, saying, you know, I hate talking to strangers on airplanes. I just don't do it. And it was like God saying, but Carl, you just asked me why these miracles don't occur in your church. I'm telling you, just turn and say, I don't know what to say. Why don't you start with hi or something like that? I said, no, God. That's why I wear the universal symbol on all airplanes that screams, I don't want to have a conversation with you. Noise canceling headphones. And mine are big. They're not subtle. It's like I'm wearing two Volkswagen Beetles, one on each ear. And so I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that. And back and forth, it's a very strong impression. And finally, it's like God's, oh, fine, I'm tired of dealing with you. I'll just work with her. And in that moment, she turns to me and asks the most random question I have ever been asked in my life. Out of the blue, she asks me, are you a priest? Well, it's not like I was wearing a clerical collar or anything. I said, no. And that's the problem with noise-canceling headphones. You can still hear what people are saying. I hate that. But I said no. And then she asked another random question, are you a rabbi? And I said no. Then, are you a pastor? Well, now it's just meddling, right? It's like, take off the headphones and have we met before? Oh, no, no, no. Well, then why did you think I was a pastor? Because I actually am a pastor. And she said, I just knew. Well, how did you? Well, when the flight attendant informed me that I was getting a new seating assignment, as I was walking up here to take this seat, it was like God gave me the impression that he was going to put me next to somebody who worked for him, to remind me that God had not forgotten about me. So I said, well, tell me your story. What's happening in your life? And, well, I just spent 3 days in Houston with my brother. He's dying of leukemia. Best oncologists in the world told him, you better get your affairs in order because you don't have much time. For 3 days, I haven't slept. I haven't eaten hardly anything. I have never been so physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually exhausted as I am right now. So, I just had this sense that God was going to remind me that I'm not alone, that he's still with me. The entire flight, we had a rich conversation. Talked about what a terrible disease cancer is. Talked about our respective churches. We talked about why such horrific things happen to good people like her brother. When we landed, I said, Chris, would it be okay if I passed along your name and your brother and your family to our prayer ministers in my church, and we'll be lifting all of you up in prayer. Would that be okay? And she just broke down and started just hugging me. And finally, when she regained her composure enough to speak, she said that would mean more to me than I can even tell you. A few days later, I got this text message from her. Carl, being able to share with you on that flight meant so much to me. God used you to bring such comfort. Owen lost his battle with leukemia. He was a wonderful man and brother who loved the Lord and is very much missed. Thank you so much for being there when I desperately needed to know that God had not forsaken me. Ours was a divine appointment. And I wonder, how many of those divine appointments have I missed? Because I just don't want to take off my noise-canceling headphones. Truth is, I like being distracted and hurried and stressed. Imagine if we took God up on His offer. Just abide in me. I promise you, I will abide in you. Just live in that place of complete surrender. God, moment by moment, I'm going to yield my will to you. I just want to be receptive and responsive. And if we abide in Christ, you can expect God's pruning. You can expect God's power, and you can expect God's presence. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for that wonderful reminder. Expectations, they trip us up. But when we surrender to the Lord, He will work mighty things through us. And not just us, others as well. Let's sing our closing song, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you for this service. We know that your presence is here. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would be blessed, that they would abide in Jesus and bear much fruit. Amen.